Would you turn back to John 19 while you're turning there? Jan Carver's mother, Mary Bolton, passed away last week. And the service is this Saturday in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Everybody remember her. And Joe Crabtree passed away this week, Bruce's wife. And the funeral is this Friday in Indiana. And Paul Daniel Sr. had his appendix removed. And he's home doing well. That's quite remarkable. But, John 19. Verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, and we know from Mark's account, he cried with a loud voice right before he died, "It is finished." Now I think of what the Lord said from the cross. What if you were there hearing these words, his first words? "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And we're given some idea of why he was there from that. That you might be forgiven. And then I think of his second saying when he looked at his mother. And can you imagine, if my mom saw me nailed to a cross, I believe the pain would be greater for her than it would be for me. And he looked at his mother, and I know that he felt the pain of knowing what anguish she was in, and said, "Woman, behold thy son," speaking to John. And he said to John, "Behold thy mother." Here we see the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, looking at his mother, his earthly mother, in that light. And then his saying, "I thirst." And this speaks of his suffering. He thirsted like nobody else has ever thirsted. And that's more than physical thirst. The thirst of wanting to have his Father's presence when he didn't have it. And then his saying, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now here we learn why we're not forsaken. This is the one reason. Because he was forsaken. This speaks of his glorious substitutionary death on the cross. And then we love to think of what he said to that thief. "Today, thou wilt be with me in paradise." Oh, what authority. "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And then we think of when he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." What faith he demonstrated at that time. We learn what faith is. He had no light. Yet he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Now, I don't think there's any more precious words. Those are all precious words, and I wouldn't set one against the other. They're all of infinite value. But there's nothing more glorious than this statement that he made. And I try to picture people watching him. There were people sitting down and watched him there. What must have gone through their mind when he said, "It is finished"? Now, his first recorded words were to his parents when he was 12 years old. "How is it that you sought me?" They came to him and said, "Son, we've sought thee sorrowing." And he looked at them. And he said, "How is it that you sought me?" In saying that, he's saying, you shouldn't have been worried about me. How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? And what were his last words? It's finished. I must be about my Father's business. And that's what he was doing for 33 years. And now he says, it is finished. Now, it takes three words in the English to give the one word spoken in the original. One word. And it's spoken in the perfect tense, perfectly completed, never to be repeated. Mission accomplished. Look in verse 28 of John chapter 19. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. You know that's the same word as finished? Same word. Knowing that all things were now accomplished. Now what does that let us know? It lets us know that whatever his intentions were, that's what he did. Whatever I intended to do has been done. Accomplished. He said in John chapter 4, verse 34, my meat, this is what I live on. This is my necessary food. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And we know from his own testimony what that will was when he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He said in John chapter 6, verse 38, I came down from heaven. That's a glorious thing. You reckon people were flipping out when he would say that? What if I said I came down from heaven? You'd say, you're crazy. And I'm sure people were thinking this. He said, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose what? Nothing. But raise it up again at the last day. He came to do his Father's will, having been sent by his Father, and he finished it perfectly. It is finished. What did he come to do? Well, first, and I think this is the first thing that ought to be said, he came to glorify the Father. That's why he came. He came to glorify his Father. He said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee. That's eternal life. To know God, the only true and living God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Then he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. He completely glorified every attribute of God in his great work on the cross. And he did so completely. He came to fulfill the law. He said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law and the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. He kept the law. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? He kept the law perfectly. He never sinned. He fulfilled every type, every sacrifice. He is the promised seed. He is the fulfillment of Abel's lamb. He is why God had respect to Abel and to his offering, because he had respect to his son. He fulfilled Noah's ark. I'm that ark. He fulfilled the Passover lamb. He fulfilled the great high priest. He fulfilled Melchizedek. He's saying, I'm David's son and I'm David's Lord. I am the fulfillment of all of this. I love when he said to John the Baptist, thus it becometh us, me and you and all the elect, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Every single one of them. Finished. Mission accomplished. In Matthew 1:21, I hope this is a scripture we're all very familiar with. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When he said it is finished, they were saved from their sins. When thinking of what he was being called upon to accomplish in this great work, he said, I have a baptism. This is in Luke 12. I have a baptism to be baptized with. And he'd already gone through water baptism. He's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about being immersed in the wrath of God, submerged completely beneath the wrath of God, and he emerges from the wrath of God in his resurrection. But when he thought of this, he said, how am I straitened until it be accomplished? Finished. Same word. Finished. It said of him in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, when he had by himself purged our sins. I hope that never becomes old. When he had by himself, with no aid from me or you, purged, made purification, put away our sins. You know what the scripture says he did? He sat down. Why did he sit down? His work was finished. You know, resting in Christ cannot be understood apart from him finishing his work. There's nothing left to be done. Do you hear that? It's finished. There is nothing left to be done. Now, false religion has you finishing his work. He did his part, now you do yours. Nothing could be further from the truth. It is finished. I'd like you to look at this with me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, because it's finished. That's why we enter into rest. As I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, or they shall not enter into my rest, talking about some people who did not enter into his rest, who never believed. Look at this next statement. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. every aspect of his great work of salvation, everything he did was finished before there was a creation, before there was time, before there was space, when all there was God, salvation, and every aspect of salvation was finished. That's how finished. It was finished before the foundation of the world. Now, the message of false religion is you need to finish it. He's done his part. Now, you do your part. You are the finisher. He died for you, but you need to finish what he did by making his work applicable to you. You need to finish becoming more holy by doing things. Reading the Bible, putting down sin, praying, all the things that are called upon to do to make you more holy and less sinful. Why, even your final position in glory will be determined by what you do. Your position in heaven will be according to your works. Do, do, do. No, it's done. It's finished. There is nothing for you to do. You know, preachers are scared to death to say that. Well, I'm saying it. There is nothing for you to do. It is finished. Now, there are 12 words in the King James Version that this one word is translated by. 12 different words, all of which give us some idea of what "it is finished" means. Now, the first word is accomplished. We've already seen that in John chapter 19, verse 28. It is accomplished. You remember Luke chapter 9 on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Moses and Elijah spake with him concerning the decease which he should accomplish. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Mission accomplished. I have been saved from all of my sins. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Mission accomplished. He sought him out and he saved him. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Mission accomplished. If you're a sinner, he saved you. He saved you. He didn't offer you salvation. He didn't make you savable. He saved you. It's been accomplished. Now, here's an interesting way this word is translated. In Luke chapter 18, verse 5, he talked about the importunate widow, and the unjust judge says, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Continual. All the time, all the way to the end. Now, here's the point. This message, "it is finished," is always in effect. There is no time when this is not in effect. There is no intermission. There is no time when it's not finished. Oh, what if his people sin? It's finished. What if they sin greatly? It's finished. What if they fall like Peter? It's finished. What if they sin like David? It's finished. What if they stray like Solomon? It's finished. Period. That does not take away. It is finished. Nothing can change that. This glorious message is continually in effect. It is finished. And then in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, the word is translated expired. Expired. I like this. Expired. What happened after he made this cry? Do you remember? The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. And the Lord is letting us know the entire Old Testament economy has expired. You know what happens when something has reached its expiration date? I don't eat it. It's not good for you, is it? You stay away from that. It is expired. The old covenant is expired. It's not in effect. It's done away with. We're not under law. This was all finished. When he cried, expired, expiration date, no longer valid. This word, it is finished, is quite often translated, it's ended. The end. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, I love thinking about this. When you read a book, if it ends with to be continued, it's not over, is it? But when it says the end, story over. Everything's accomplished. Story over. He made an end of sins. Daniel 9:24 says he made an end of sins. He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And now they're ended. They're not. Story over. I'm justified. I stand before God. And even when I say this, I'm aware of my own personal sinful guilt. Don't think I'm trying to say I'm not aware of that, because I am. But listen to this. In spite of that, I'm justified before him. I stand without guilt before him. End of story. It's over. The word is translated in Revelation 15:1, filled up. Have you ever seen a glass that is so full that it seems like the water, I can't remember what the, there's a physiological reason, but the water actually just goes a little bit over the brim. You know, and if you add one more drop to it, it'll fall out. It can't hold any more. It is finished. Not a drop can be added to you. You are complete in him. There's no room for improvement. Nothing can be added. It is finished. The word is translated in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, finally. Finally. You know, this is your final exam, and you've already passed it perfectly, 100%. You know, this is true with regard to me. I have this stress dream. I've had it hundreds of times. And I'm always so happy when I wake up. I stress out that finals have come, and there's a class I haven't thought about, forgot it. I'm going to flunk it, no doubt. I'm not going to graduate. And I am stressed. Why didn't I think about it? I didn't study for it. Now I'm going to flunk out. I'm not going to get to graduate. And it's such a relief when I wake up and find out I've already graduated. Now, I don't know where my certificate is. Somebody says, prove it. Well, I don't even know where the... Do we still have that? I don't even know. But says I graduated. So, you know, somebody might call that into question. I used to have it. It's lost now. But still, the fact of the matter is, oh, the stress is gone. But if that's so stressful during that dream, it is final. And then in John chapter 19, verse 30, it is finished. There's absolutely nothing left that needs to be done. Now, please may God give me and you the grace to get a hold upon that. There's nothing left that needs to be done. It is finished. There's nothing for you to do. It's finished. Nothing you can add to His finished work. Rest. It is fulfilled. This is another word that is used by the translators for this one Greek word. It is fulfilled. The scriptures are fulfilled completely. Every sacrifice fulfilled. I love it when the Lord was preaching Capernaum, I think, in Luke chapter 4. And He gives the year of Jubilee. That's the acceptable year of the Lord when debts were canceled. If you were a slave, you were set free. Whatever you lost was restored to you. And there was a year of vacation. And you know, there's not one record of that ever being held in the Old Testament. It was a law, but they never did it because the people in power didn't want to do it because they'd lose money out of it. And so they found a way to never observe this. But I love the way the Lord said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He is the day of Jubilee. And then in Matthew chapter 10, verse 23, it's translated go.
Go.
Green light. Go. Nothing holding you back. Go. Nothing you need to experience. Nothing you need to do. Go. Don't wait. Don't wait till you get better. Don't wait till you understand more. Don't wait till you're more spiritually mature. Don't wait till you feel like you handle sin better. Go right now. There's nothing holding you back. It is finished. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24, the word is translated paid. The debt is paid, paid in full. It is paid. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. White as snow. And then in Luke 2:39, the word is translated performed. Performed. It is performed. We stress over our performances. I always stress in my performance of everything I do. We stress over our performance in our marriage. Every one of us know we could be better spouses in so many ways. We stress as parents. We stress in our jobs. We stress over our walk, our, quote, Christian walk. We stress. But listen to this. It's performed. It's all performed. And we have a history when our name is called upon Judgment Day, perfect performance. It's all been good. It's all been right. It's all been just. You say, how can that be? Because God's able to make that happen through the gospel. A brand new history that's all good. And then in 1 Thessalonians 2:16, this is the last one. This word is translated uttermost. Uttermost. It is uttermost. You can't be any more saved than you are because you've been saved to the uttermost. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can make it any better. Near, so near to God, nearer I cannot be. For in the person of his dear son, I'm as near to God as he. Dear, so dear to God, dearer I cannot be. For in the person of his dear son, I'm as dear to God as he. It is accomplished. It's continual. It's expired. It's ended. It's filled up. It's final. It's finished. It's fulfilled. It's go. It's paid. It's performed. It is the uttermost in everything I've mentioned. Can I, dare I, believe that this is said in my behalf? I'll ask you two questions. Number one, do you believe you're a sinner? Very simple question. Do you believe you're a sinner? Here's the second question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God the Son? Then yes, it was finished for you. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for these precious words of our Savior. Lord, we confess our sins, but how we thank you that you made an end of our sins and finished the work the Father gave you to do in saving us from our sins. Lord, how we thank you that it is finished, that your gospel is a thing finished. Not something incomplete that we need to do to make it complete, but it finished salvation to the uttermost. And we're so thankful. Bless this message for your glory and for our good. And Lord, when we go to bed tonight, may the last thought we have before we go to sleep is it is finished. In Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen.